You are now listening to the Bullseye podcast brought to you by AFI Advisors. Sit back, get comfy, and keep all arms and legs inside the vehicle when in motion. And now, here is Josh, Peter, and Brian.
Good afternoon, everyone. It is 2023, not 2022, like I wrote earlier on a piece of paper.
If you're just doing it on one piece of paper, though, you're doing better than the majority of
us. And then I had to do that little weird carry-down squiggly to turn the two into the three.
Turning the two into a three is so much easier, though, than some of them. You know, you're like, if you do a four, you can go to an eight, but or a nine, but you're pretty messed up for the rest of them.
We have not podcasted in like 2 weeks. That's a long time for us.
Yeah.
2023, new year, same-ish podcast. I guess, I don't know.
It's a new and refreshed.
New year, same me. So I had a terrible Christmas. How was yours?
Better than yours.
Yeah, it was a lot better. My pops didn't burst. Which was good. Now, we did have rolling blackouts during Christmas Eve. So mine happened more often than they told us. So it happened 6 times on Christmas Eve morning for about 20 to 22 minutes each time. And the temperature in my house would drop 4 degrees. And then I would have enough time to warm it up 2 degrees before it went off again. And so it just got a little colder and a little colder.
Yeah, it was so cold. Like 4.
It got down to 1.
And then like the wind chill made it negative something at one point in time. I don't know. My house isn't built for that.
I was actually talking today to one of the people at TVA about it, and they were telling me that a lot of the times whenever one city or one organization has a difficult time producing enough electricity for everybody, they'll buy it from other places. But this cold was so nationwide that there was no one else to buy it from. So they couldn't go over to central U.S. and say, hey, can we buy some of your electricity to push towards our people? Because everybody was needing it.
What about, like, Russia?
We tried, but, you know. They're
Tell you what, we're getting closer and closer to nuclear power by the minute. I didn't have the problems that you guys did other than my house got cold, but we didn't lose power. But because we're doing some renovations in the basement, we have no insulation under our house.
Oh, it's miserable.
And so we had definitive
socks.
Yeah, it depended upon what floor of the house you were on, you know, because we've got kind of a drive under basement that we're doing some work in. And yeah, because they're doing wiring in the ceiling, everything's just ripped out. So Our heat couldn't keep up. We dropped to probably, I think the lowest we got, though, was maybe 60, 61. But we had space heaters and everything else.
I woke up one morning and I looked at my thermostat and it said 54.
Yeah, that's about where mine got.
And I was like, what? Is that real?
It might as well have just said, get back in bed.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, I didn't have to say it. I knew.
Yeah.
Well, so I did something I don't normally do. I took a huge chunk of time off work. Anyone who knows me knows that I don't do that because
I'm... He can take off work while he's here, so.
Well, that, but no. And Brian was the one that actually convinced me. He's like, well, if you wait and you take these days off, you can capitalize
and get your 11 days in a row.
On the holidays and weekends, and you'll be off for like ever. And I was. I was off for like 10 or 11 days total.
You couldn't make it, though. You did come
in.
You
did come in.
I got so bored. It was miserable. There's only so much Netflix I can watch. It was freezing. My pipes busted. I had water everywhere. It was the worst day of week of my life. So I just, I got
bored.
I'm
sorry.
I got bored and just came to work one day in my pajamas pretty much just doing stuff. So, Brian, thank you for ruining the latter part of my year last year.
I feel like most people listening would have been like, yeah, 10, 11 days off sounds really nice.
No, it does sound nice, but it's not, I promise you. It's not, unless you're going somewhere.
If you're going somewhere, yeah, then it's not enough time sometimes. Yeah. But if you're just at home, you run out of things that you want to do, and then there's all the tasks you should do.
But you're on vacation, so you push it off. Yeah. See, I have so many things at home that I don't do after work because I've worked all day. And then on the weekends, I don't do them because that's my weekend, and it's not my work time. So
that is classic man logic and never agreed upon by wives.
Well, he was saying it, and it seems to make perfect sense to me.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to find disagreement around here. But
I mean, that's the way it is.
So, new year, new me. Do you guys have any New Year's resolutions? My only one is not to be fat anymore. So it's just and I'm gonna do this. This is how I'm gonna keep myself accountable. I'm gonna tell my weight publicly on the podcast every week, so I can hold myself accountable.
Where are you at now?
I started at, this week, Monday, because today's Friday. God, my days are still all mixed up. I can't even get it right. So Monday, I weighed in at 231 pounds.
Oh, my God.
But I like to tell people muscle weighs a lot more than fat.
It does. So you could be weighing like 235.
And I'm pretty swole, but my belly's also pretty swole.
I think we should use the word swole to describe how you feel after you go to the gym. Like, to me, swole sounds sore.
Well, that's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
But this week, I'm 5 days in. I'm at like 226. I'm feeling very limber. I feel quick. I feel nice. Like I could probably outrun Usain Bolt.
Every year I make that resolution. I'll go as far and not be as brave as you, but I have 136 pounds of muscle mass, according to my fancy dancy scale. Go. So there's a lot of water and other things on top of that. But
So I started the year out at around 191.
Well, wait, this isn't...
I'm 186.4 now. I thought we would just throw it out there.
No, everyone, just hitting like true confessions. You don't have to like...
Well, in that case, then my New Year's resolution is to get a little worse, so next year's New Year's resolution is easier to choose.
Mm-hmm. I mean, but I could also see myself, you know, February 3rd, just eating an entire large pizza. You never know. It's about balance. Let's see what happens.
You know, my problem always is I'm really good until one thing. So New Year's, Christmas, Thanksgiving, whatever it is, a long weekend, you know, and then I blow
Thursdays.
A bad day at work. And then I blow it out that day. And then, you know, so.
Then you remember how good life can be.
Right.
And you get so, when you're doing well, that zero becomes kind of scary. You know, if I'm 30 days into something, I don't want to ruin that. Mm-hmm. If I do ruin it, then I'm going to ruin it the next day too, because what's breaking a record of one?
Yeah. And you're not a quitter.
Yeah.
Well, so what kind of financial New Year's resolutions do we have people making? Other than mine's always to just, you know, be rich. I think I told you this morning.
I've asked six people, and that was literally the only answer I got is I want to be rich.
I told you this morning I wanted to be like Rick James, rich.
But the thing about these New Year's resolutions is they are doomed to fail unless you have a game plan to achieve them.
Going deep.
Yeah. How are you going to skinny up?
Why do you have to get all portfolio manager-y on us? It's weird.
Josh is like, I plan on losing weight this week. I'm not going to change my diet, and I'm not going to work out anymore.
Now, hold on. I've changed so much, and it's made me a little edgy.
A little cranky.
A little irritable. But it's fine.
It's fine. It is what it is.
It's like how I am when I'm like I've had too much caffeine. I'm going to cut back, and then the headaches set in and everything else. Number one financial resolution for most of Americans. So it's 53% of respondents paying off debt.
Well, that's a good one.
Yeah.
And like you said, you've got to have a plan, because once you get locked in this thing where you're not paying as much as the interest rate is going, you know, these credit card debts pile up quick. But yeah. Paying off debt's the number one. Saving for a significant purchase is number two at like 33%.
That's on mine. Helicopter.
Normally house or car, but yes, helicopter. I was just watching a clip of an interview that Tom Cruise gave with James Corden, and apparently he just lands his helicopter wherever.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying.
Wow. And he's got a guy, like apparently there's a guy that works for him that he'll just call up families and be like, can we land a helicopter in your yard? We'll compensate you, blah, blah, blah. But if he's scouting locations and he's like, did you talk to the family? He's like, I'm sure somebody did. They told me I could land there. You know, so apparently he called James Corden up and was like, hey, can I land in your yard with my helicopter? He was like, I don't know that I've got enough space. He's like, you've got enough space.
Well, I'm not going to compensate anyone for landing it, but I'll offer to give them a ride or something.
If I had a helicopter, I'd probably have to start getting out of the house more just to rationalize the purchase.
That sounds exactly like something you would say.
It's like, I need to get out. If you don't get it moving, its engine dies, you know?
Before we get too far off of this, I know I say helicopter a lot because I really want one, but just think about it. If you were to just sell your vehicles, sell your car, sell all the things, and just buy a helicopter, you could go anywhere you wanted to, and you could sleep in it, right?
The big ones you can.
Yeah, you can sleep in it, and you can, you know, fly to private, secluded areas and bathe. And
why didn't you become a pilot? Like, this sounds a lot like a pilot's life.
I don't know.
Well, have you listened to Neil Tyson Degrassi talk about helicopters? You know, everybody complains that we don't have flying cars. He's like, your helicopter's your flying car.
That's true.
That is true.
That's the theory behind a helicopter. It's like, yeah, we're not the Jetsons. They're not tiny and can go anywhere. But a helicopter's a flying car.
You know, anybody that's that smart that can explain things in a way that people like us can understand.
They're too smart. They shouldn't be allowed.
It's brilliant.
Yeah.
Like,
okay, back to the list.
Yeah, back to the list. Let's see here. So we have building emergency saving funds. It's kind of one of the things that mm-hmm. we talked about. Saving for smaller purchases is on here. Let's see, reducing your spending. So some people will do, you know, a resolution to not go to Starbucks or whatever coffee joint as much. And so that multiplier effect of those small reoccurring purchases. The least responded and what potentially should have been the highest responded on the list at 2% of responders increase their givings to charity.
Oh, man.
So those are the kids in class who are like, yeah, of course you said that. Yeah. Like after we said we wanted a helicopter, you're going to give your money to the church. That's, you know.
To be fair, he offered rods. That's charitable.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that did make me feel bad because I'm going to be honest, that didn't even enter my solosphere of thinking. I was just like, oh, a helicopter.
So, yeah, there's
that is a cool goal. Yeah.
Being better with your money in general. But, you know, just like we talked all last year and we've built this whole conversation on, it's trying to do things better.
Yeah.
Do things a little bit better. And my big problem with resolutions, I don't set them, whether it's weight or whatever it is, because I know I'm not going to live up to what I think I can do on January 1.
And it's just going to hurt later.
And it's going to hurt later, and then I'm going to feel disappointed. Like, I had this huge plan of things that I wanted to be done by the time I was 40, and I started at, like, 37. No. Just no. I was closer on everything than I was at 37, but there was a lot of stuff that was on my to-do list at 37 that's still on my to-do list.
I think we can all look at lists that we wrote down for what we thought we would be, and it's just not the same thing. Life, I mean, in a lot of ways, we're better.
Yeah.
You know, twists and turns and...
Bigger and better.
Bigger and better.
Literally bigger.
Yeah, I don't have a list. I don't have a list of things, aspirations, things to do before I...
No bucket list.
No. Yeah, because then I don't know. I don't know that I'd approach that intelligently. I would probably be reckless trying to get those things off my list. And you just got to know how you react to those things. But, yeah, it does sound like those resolutions are all things that you would expect people to say, right? Like spend better, give more. Emergency fund. That one's a hard one for me. I feel like I can't stop using it to save it up. It's like, but as soon as the emergency fund gets like somewhat rolling in the right direction,
your pipes break.
Yeah.
Pipes bust.
Which is better than if you didn't save it up in the first place.
No, I know. But it's just still one's the worst for me. I hate that. And I know that it's dipping into my helicopter fund.
No helicopter for Josh.
Well, I would imagine helicopter fund would need like a little bit put aside too for when something goes wrong.
Right.
So.
Yeah, new blades.
Yeah, new blade.
I don't know what you buy for a helicopter.
I don't know. Like blades. In my mind, you were just parking at Advanced Auto and they change them out for you. I don't know.
No, we'll go up to Bell Helicopter. We have one of the premier helicopter places in the
That's
country.
Pine right Flats,
in
our right?
Yeah. We're gonna have to see if we can. Get them on, and then they can bring Dolly in their helicopter over to the new studio.
Well, I was gonna say, is it? Are we too late in the plans for the new building to put a helicopter pad on the roof?
I thought there was one. It's just for a small helicopter.
It's a very small helicopter, but we've got 1,000 square feet of flat area. You could probably land something on there.
It small also helicopter. Turned my commute time into like. Probably 8 minutes.
It's one of the few buildings closer to my house than this one.
Now, you could land one on top of the Regions. You'd just have to come down the scariest roof hatch of all time.
Well, to be fair, it's pretty scary coming up that elevator.
Well, that's true, too.
I'm also not going to trust the weight of my helicopter on top of this building.
Oh, no, it'd crumble the whole thing.
Just, no.
It'd be like Godzilla just looking at the building. Yeah.
Well, so you had those resolutions, and Brian, you've got a whole – you did what you do best. You printed the internet, and you've got a whole sheet of paper of
It's nothing that bad. It's just how much Americans spend on New Year's Eve. We always try to do that, talking about Christmas, Halloween, all that. New Year's is probably one of the least. About 70% of Americans are going to spend about $50. Or spent about $50 on New Year's Eve this year, which isn't that high. You start looking at the bigger cities, New York, Orlando, Las Vegas, that number goes up to about $865.
Well, yeah. Just watching Times Square gives me anxiety. Oh, yeah. 'Cause those people have to be in Times Square early. They get into those little pens. And then they can't leave.
Yeah, you're literally stuck.
You're stuck.
And it was one degree here. What was it up there?
It had to have been just awful. We don't spend a lot on New Year's. I will say all the boys made it this year. This first year that the whole family stayed up. But we just get snack food, so we don't spend extra. Yeah. We would have had a dinner anyway, so we're not spending any extra. But it's one of those ones that we've had family members get married on New Year's Eve, so you're still in a tux at, midnight. That's, a different type of event. But then they, if you forget that anniversary, you're in trouble. but, it's just, I don't know. New Year's just doesn't seem to me as special as it used to. And I don't know if it's because of the internet, but like, watching Dick Clark and the ball drop used to be kind of magical. Now,
it's really weird.
It's weird.
Yeah. Do you not think it's weird? Like, and it's also kind of weird because it seems like every station or every genre is kind of trying to jump in and cash in on the festivities and hosting their own premiere or whatever.
Right, like Miley Cyrus had one down in Miami, and it was one of the three main networks.
Yeah.
And you used to be able to kind of go network to network.
Dolly was with her.
Dolly was with her, yeah.
If that's not the weirdest
she's her
combination.
Godmother, right?
Yeah, it's just an odd, odd combination.
Her dad and Dolly were kind of in the same scene.
Yeah, I guess
well,
so.
Well, yeah, they were, but it's just, that's just a, it's just an odd combination. But it's good. She needs some role models in her life, clearly. So,
tell you what, she
it's one of those combinations. Sorry, it's like one of those combinations, like a Martha Stewart and Snoop Dogg's cook show. Like it's
still one of my favorite combinations.
Oh, it's
of all
great.
Time.
They do really well.
They
together.
Do. It's a weird level of awesome cool.
I mean, Martha did go to jail. She has street cred.
Yeah.
We managed to send her to jail for financial problems rather than some of the people that are currently on Wall Street. But, yeah, I love pairings like that, that are mm-hmm. just different enough that, you know, they're completely outside the norm. But, you know, New Year's, it was New Year's. And right. Dolly was on Miley's show. You know, but then all the other ones, I don't know, maybe it's just a younger person's thing now, because I don't like most new music anyway, so watching them perform it in front of, you know, a whole bunch of people is not my favorite thing anyway, especially when there's other stuff to do. We normally just watch movies until the end. We watch one Indiana Jones film every year, and then we pick something else.
I love Indiana Jones.
I do too, except for the fourth one. I can't do it. There. The least believable thing in the fourth one was that Shia LaBeouf was Harrison Ford's son. There were aliens, and that was the least believable part.
Yeah, I was not a fan of them kind of dipping into the kind of the supernatural world, but it was still good. It's
Raiders
just,
of the Lost Ark had some supernatural.
Yeah, it was just a little bit of a stretch for me, but I still like it. I still watch it, and I'll watch it if it's on. But mm-hmm. that
excited for the fifth one.
Yeah, I would. I'd probably agree. The fourth one was, if I had to choose,
it's the weak one.
It's probably the weakest one for me. But
I mean, you got Shia LaBeouf swinging through the jungle like a monkey, along with monkeys in that one. So yeah. Or Shia LaBeouf.
Man, that one lady that's in that one's scary.
Cate Blanchett's character?
Is that, the kind of, what role did she play? She's tall,
intelligent,
blonde, like,
agent for the Germans, fought with a fencing sword.
She was pretty demented in that. She was ready to know what them aliens were thinking. She wanted all the power.
You know,
then she got it in her head. Oh, spoiler alert.
I like movies like that. I like stupid movies in worlds that I like. So the fact that, like, Harrison Ford climbs into a refrigerator to escape a nuclear blast, you know, stuff like that. I'm just like, yeah, that's funny. I'll take
that
stuff.
The Rambo movie.
Yeah.
I
never complain about getting more of a universe that I like. Even if it's bad, it's more of a universe I like. So bad Star Wars movies, bad, you know, Indiana Jones, whatever it is, it's still better than
nothing. I didn't know there was anything other than bad Star Wars movies.
See, I was thinking the exact opposite. I was like, which one's a bad one?
Rogue One.
I liked Rogue One.
Most people do.
I mean, I didn't love it. Like, that's not one of the ones I revisit, but I watched it in theaters, and I was like, that's
pretty
cool.
We just lost Josh. Let's talk Top Gun real quick.
You know, when you all talk about stuff I don't like, I just get quiet. Josh starts throwing stuff. And
well, no, let's get back on. You were talking. Yeah. Okay, so clearly people are cheap on New Year's.
People are cheaper on New Year's, and it has 50, a lot to do with location.
$50, they order a pizza, and they get, like,
bottle of champagne.
Yeah, bottle of champagne, and they hang out. You know, you spend $865 if you go to New York, and you just hang out at a bar.
Yeah, and that's for two drinks.
Yeah, and that's for two drinks, and that's not counting the price to get there and back if you're here. But New York was definitely voted the best city for New Year's, followed by Orlando, Florida, and Las Vegas.
Orlando?
Disney. Disney and Universal. Mm. The parks do it up big.
I could see Las Vegas. That's just like...
Yeah, it makes
sense. Party capital of the world.
Anywhere you can do really good fireworks. So, like, they do fireworks over the castle, and you should see the videos. It gives me more anxiety even than Times Square. But, anywhere these big travel destinations. And Orlando's warm normally, so you're not worried about what you are in New York.
Well, that's neat. I wouldn't have guessed Orlando. That's cool.
Yeah.
And then what did you say? Las Vegas.
Las Vegas was third. San Francisco and Atlanta round out the five, the top five.
Atlanta, see, that would be that was a weird one to me
too.
What? Yeah, not to offend any Atlanteans. If
is that the right word? Atlanta, but it's just not where I would think to go.
We love Ludacris.
Nelly and his country grammar. Now, what do you call residents of Atlanta? Is it Atlanteans? That sounds way too like science fiction-y to be true.
I don't
but
know.
But it's a different, you know, Atlanta is just so different than the rest of Georgia, too.
That's true.
You know, it's hard to even know what you would do. I mean, the only reason I go to Atlanta is for a Braves game. So
they
have a
really cool aquarium. I went down there for that.
Yeah. Henry and I have done that.
Yeah, it's like Braves games or concerts for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I want to start calling Kingsportians. Kingsportians. Like a Martian, a Kingsportian.
If you have a better suggestion than Brian's for Kingsport residents, please send it
in. I've gotten mixed reviews on it so far. I've done a few samples. Kingsportian, though, that's the way to go. But anyway, back to this. The most expensive cities are a little bit different than the best. So, and I might butcher this
so
first
wait,
one.
These are...
These are most... the first ones were what were voted the best places. These are the most expensive. Irvine, California,
mm-hmm.
Miami, New York, Honolulu, and New Orleans.
New Orleans would be fun.
I would think New Orleans would be good. Honolulu, yeah. That makes sense. You got a lot of travel to get out there.
Everything's expensive in Miami.
Welcome to Miami.
Welcome to Miami.
See, the second Not somebody our, says Miami, Will Smith pops into my head, and now I'll be there for the rest of the day.
Mm.
So, although I guess Will Smith is no longer... allowed in the cultural lexicon. You slap one person in an award show, it's no longer.
We don't like Will Smith, idiot.
Come on the show and prove it.
He slapped me. He better run because I ain't going to just stand there and laugh about it. I know he'll probably beat me up, but I'll at least.
But you'll at least fight.
I'll fight him.
I'll jump in there with you, Josh. I'd fight him with you.
Be like, I fought Will Smith, right?
It's like that song, I fought Mike Tyson. Yeah. I could see those cities being, expensive.
And that's the bulk of it seems to be where you're at, where you're planning on going, how much you plan on traveling, and that dictates how much it's going to cost.
Hmm.
They did do a list of what they called the least expensive cities. But
Kingsport.
They put El Paso, Texas as number one, and I'm thinking, I've been to Bluff City, Tennessee. I know Bluff City is going to be cheaper.
Piney Flats and Bluff City, you're going to be cheaper than El Paso.
El Paso is pretty rough. It's by far drug hub central of, that Mexican U.S. border.
Tulsa, Oklahoma is second. That's... well known, but it might not be. I've never been there. Durham, North Carolina.
Oh.
It's close. It's a neighbor.
Yeah. Memphis, Tennessee's eighth.
I would imagine Beale Street would be pretty fun to be on for New Year's.
I think Memphis has just gotten too rough to enjoy, even on Beale Street. I think it's just gotten too unsafe.
It's been a long time since I've been out to Memphis. We used to have a relationship with the Morgan Keegan broker out there.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went out to intern there. It's still the weirdest thing to me. I flew out of Tri-Cities, went to Detroit to go down to Memphis.
Yeah.
You know, it was just...
That's weird. A lot of those redirect flights never make
sense. They don't make sense.
Yeah, they never make sense.
No sense whatsoever. There was one time when... my wife was going to Texas on a train, and she had to go from, I think it was Lexington, Virginia, to Chicago to go down to Texas, down that route. So sometimes these redirects don't make a lot of sense, but went down on Beale Street when I went. You know, at that time, you could still, listen to live music, mm-hmm, go, mm-hmm. Place to place, and it was a lot of fun. Eat the famous barbecue places, all that type of stuff. But I haven't been out there probably in 15 years.
Yeah, it's been a long time since I was last there.
That's the fun part of living in Tennessee, though. You tell somebody you're from Tennessee, and depending upon who you're talking to, you know, they're like, oh, you're near Memphis? No.
I'm the dude that always tells people anything west of Knoxville is not Tennessee.
Yeah. Well, we're closer to parts of Canada than the opposite side of Tennessee.
As the bird flies, absolutely.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Canada?
Yeah. You go kind of north and a little bit west, there's a portion of Canada that's closer to us than Memphis is as the bird flies. We've blown his mind.
Where's my globe?
And in between them, you can get freedom fries. We'll just throw out all the things that bother. My resolution is to call French fries freedom fries the entire year.
I'll never do it.
You know, this, we need to start discussing this more before we open up our coffee shop.
Yes, it's true. We do. All the things that could be potential triggers for people. I think this is a good time to stop.
Have we jumped the shark at this point?
Guys, we're sorry. This is 2 weeks of us not doing this. We're having to get back in the role.
We're knee-deep into 30 minutes here, and this is just not going to go anywhere constructive now.
I think it's kind of like what Brian said. We're starting off the year really at a place that we can improve from.
Yes. Yeah. Setting the bar very low. I've always been a fan of setting the bar really low. Because then, you know, it gives you a chance to overachieve. And who doesn't like that?
You always got the most improved awards. And,
MVP.
Yeah.
Most improved.
It's kind of like we would have kids at tryouts who you're like, they're blowing that tryout on purpose so that they can get on somebody else's team. And like, don't go be good because I'm not going to be able to get you and Charlie. It's not happening. You need to miss everything.
Yeah.
I'll get you in the fourth round.
Well, I hope everybody had a great holiday season, great new year. I hope that, you know, your resolutions are maybe a little more interesting than the ones we read off. But if not, that's okay, too.
Let us know what they were.
Yeah, I want to hear what everyone's resolutions are. Send those to connect@AFIadvisors.com. I may read some of them. Next go around.
Send in your weirdest ones you've heard of, too. Those would be fascinating.
Yeah, that'd be cool, too. Yeah. Yeah, we need some content for next week. This is a dry spell for us right here. There's not a lot going on.
Well, we're about to hit tax season. That's coming. So, you know, you gotta be loose as long as you can.
Yeah, right. Yeah, but go check us out on all of our social accounts. Check out the website, AFIadvisors.com. And thank you, everyone, for listening. Guys, thank you. We'll see everybody, next week?
Next week.
Next week.
All right. See you later.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Bullseye Podcast. Do you want to sponsor the show? Or maybe be a guest? Contact us at connect@AFIadvisors.com to get the conversation started. Thanks for all of the support. Cheers.